The Exchange Daily Podcast is brought to you by
Northeast Credit Union, helping their members save money through free checking accounts and refinancing of auto, home, and personal loans. Northeast Credit Union, encouraging you to discover the difference at necu.org. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Opportunity.
And Dartmouth Hitchcock, creating a new model for healthcare where leading health systems collaborate to improve care for all of us. A sustainable system improving the health of our communities for years to come. Information at imagine.d-h.org.
And Doucette Survey, serving your professional land surveying and mapping needs in New England. Now with offices in New Hampshire and Maine. Information at doucetsurvey.com. That's doucetsurvey.com.
Enjoy the show.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Later this morning, the New Hampshire House will vote on whether to raise the state's gas tax by 7 to 8 cents to fund the Department of Transportation. The vote comes after the House Finance Committee approved more than $88 million in cuts to the department's budget and after the state raised the gas tax last year by 4 cents a gallon. It's also taking place amid huge uncertainty about federal funds, as Congress has yet to reauthorize the Highway Trust Fund. Although those dollars have long been critical for states, many states are now saying they can't wait for Congress to act, and so some are debating whether to raise their own gas taxes, while others are examining different alternatives to keep their transportation systems running. Today in The Exchange, the road to better infrastructure. Let's hear from you. 1-800-892-6477 is the Exchange number. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Joining us for the hour from D.C. is Tony Punton. He's executive director of the Boston Society of Civil Engineers section and an associate with the Beta Group engineering firm based in New Hampshire. And Tony, great to have you.
Thank you very much, Laura. Glad to be here.
And I want to let everybody know later on in the hour, we will be talking to two state representatives on this gas tax issue that's being voted on today. Tony, as I said, you're in D.C. at the American Society of Civil Engineers meeting. What's the thinking there about the federal highway bill? What are people saying?
Well, I think that frustration is probably the key word. I've been coming to, these are our annual fly-in visit, if you will, where we get approximately 200 engineers from around the country, typically representing 48 to 50 states. And we go and we talk to our state representatives here in D.C., and I've been doing it 10, 12 years, and it seems like all the time we're talking about transportation, especially lately over the last 5 years, where there hasn't been a long-term funding that allows for a steady, sustainable resources for our local state governments to put projects in on the road, if you will.
Some people say that the federal highway bill is kind of, you know, mom and apple pie. I mean, everybody wants good roads and bridges. So what's the holdup, Tony?
from our engineering point of view, we don't know. Every D, every R wants to cut a ribbon. They want infrastructure. They realize it helps the economy. But for some reason, there hasn't been the political will to pull the trigger on a steady funding source. And that's why I use the term frustrating.
So every D, every R, every Democrat, every Republican wants that photo opportunity in front of the ribbon of the new road or the repaired bridge and so forth. Yeah. Well, what have our members of Congress said from New Hampshire? Have you talked to them?
We haven't met with them yet. We've been here for many years, and it's not that they don't understand the infrastructure is needed to be repaired, especially the roads and bridges. It's the funding mechanism. There's gas tax, VMTs, repatriation of profits from overseas. So there's a whole bunch of different options. And like I said, the frustrating part is that nobody can agree on how to get the money. They all just know that we need it.
Well, let's talk about some of the options. What's the sense that you have, Tony, of any enthusiasm for raising the federal gas tax? I know that's an idea that's being discussed.
Well, right now, as we speak, Representative Blumauer from Oregon is speaking at a breakfast meeting for all the other engineers who are getting ready to hit the hill, if you will. And they've put forward he's put forward, I believe it's called UPDATE, and I forgot what the acronym exactly stands for, but the House side introducing a bill for I believe it's a 15-cent gas tax increase.
Wow, there's that's a lot. Well,
there's not a corresponding bill yet in the Senate, and you know, in my opinion, the likelihood of a Senate bill coming up, matching it, being able to go through conference, go through markup, and come out with a bill by the time the current continuing resolution ends at the end of May is, I don't know how likely it is. Once again, that's the frustrating part that comes out, because everybody knows what's out there. Nobody doesn't dispute that we need to, especially on the highway, invest more in our roads and bridges for our quality of life, for our economy, for our safety. But again, nobody's willing to pull the trigger on something.
Well, okay, so increasing the federal gas tax is an idea that's out there, may or may not fly, as you said, Tony.
Yep.
I also read a lot about this idea being promoted by some in both parties about repatriating corporate profits earned abroad and dedicating that to highways. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, that's definitely more on the political sense than I know. I know gas tax, but if I'm not mistaken, there is, and they use the term loopholes in the tax laws that allow companies to take profits and somehow overseas, they realize a profit overseas. And if they close that loophole, they'll let people take the profits and bring them back into this country, tax the profits, and that tax will actually go to fund infrastructure. Now, from an engineering perspective, there's really no correlation between their profits and fixing the infrastructure. So in some ways, it doesn't seem like a sustainable or a direct correlation. But on the other end, anything that will help increase the funding is greatly appreciated and greatly needed.
It does get away from the traditional user fee concept that's made gas taxes and road tolls and so forth palatable. You know, people say, okay, I use the road, so I don't mind chipping in a little. This is sort of a whole different animal, isn't it?
It is. And once again, it's, different political factions trying to find a way to fund it. And although, like I said, it doesn't make sense, as much sense as a user fee, road toll, gas tax, it's just another way to recognize that we do need to invest more, especially in our transportation infrastructure.
Our phone number here in the exchange for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. We're looking at infrastructure funding, specifically right now, transportation funding, and the search that states have going on to find some way to better fund their infrastructure, given the uncertainty that our guest is telling us about federal highway funding. 1-800-892-6477. What ways do you think New Hampshire could raise some money to pay for roads and bridges and other infrastructure beyond the gas tax? 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Maybe there are ideas from other states or other countries that you've heard about that you think might work for the Granite State. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. I want to ask you about some other ideas, Tony, that I've read about, but just back to the gas tax for a second, please. This is the most familiar road funding source in America. How reliable is it these days? Because we hear that revenues from it are not what they used to be.
Well, I mean, the gas tax was instituted, and you're right, it is the most reliable, and I'm sure we'll talk about other methods, but there still is definitely a correlation between gallons of gas used, miles traveled, and damage or impact to roads. So there is a correlation. But what of course has happened over the past years, I mean, go from the mid-70s till now, the CAFE, the average gas mileage for vehicles has gone up tremendously from 15 to 17 to the low 30s. And when that happens, you use less gasoline, you pay less taxes, but you travel the same distance. And the big thing, and up until last year when New Hampshire raised the gas tax, it had been 20-some-odd years, 22 years. And we're down here in D.C., and we'll be talking with our representatives. The last time the federal gas tax was raised was 22 years ago, or excuse me, in the early 90s. You know, and I tell people, you can't build a 2015 bridge with $1992 dollars.
What is contributing besides more fuel efficient cars? What else is contributing to that gas tax being less reliable and the cost of roads going up so much?
Well, I mean, that's it entirely. I mean, we've seen less miles traveled. People are becoming more urbanized and using more public transportation. The efficiency of cars, you know, the hybrids and the electric cars are really starting to come into play. You know, when they're a small percent, it doesn't make much of a difference. But if you combine that with more urbanization, more public transit people using, more fuel efficient cars, results in less revenue. And just the basic fact, and we can take the federal government, is that from 1992 to 2015, the power of a dollar has decreased by at least a third, and I've seen estimates to say up to a half. So the taxes you paid in 1992 till now, you're getting, you know, one third less of those dollars to build a bridge and build it. And of course, in that time, our infrastructure has been aging, and it's especially, you know, we're talking a lot about transportation, especially the roads and the bridges. Many of the bridges were built especially in the interstate in the 50s, and they're coming to their end life. And over the past several years or several decades, we've really deferred the maintenance on it. We'll get to it. Well, now everything's coming due.
Our phone number again is 1-800-892-6477. As we look at the gas tax, the federal highway bill, other ideas for raising money for roads, bridges, and infrastructure, what ideas do you have? Which ideas appeal to you to raise the cash that it takes to have a modern infrastructure system? We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Another familiar idea, Tony, is toll roads. This may seem very simple to you, but I'll ask it anyway. Why can't states just take existing roads and turn them into toll roads?
Well, the interstate system was developed, and the interstate system does not allow for tolling on roads. The roads that are tolled in New Hampshire and Massachusetts are actual turnpikes. The Maine Turnpike Authority, the New Hampshire Turnpike, and the Massachusetts Turnpike were all authorities set up, and those are not part of the federal highway system. It's seamless. You drive from one road to the other, but they are not part of it. The federal government, when they set up the national highway system, wanted to pay for the roadway system by a gas tax. I think tolls are a great way. I mean, the unfortunate part, though, when you put up tolls, is then you will push people off to toll. I mean, off of toll roads onto local roads. If you, for example, tolled I-93 through the center of Concord, where I live, then if you put up a dollar toll booth or something like that, then you're going to get people taking Route 3 and going up through Penacook and getting back on the highway after the toll.
Sure.
So that's some of the difficulties. If you have isolated situations, bridge crossings, for example, tolling works. Massachusetts is on the Tobin Bridge, just put all electronic tolling, but that's the state of Massachusetts.
All right, we will follow up on that after a short break, because that's real interesting, the history of the federal highway system. This is The Exchange on NHPR. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at infrastructure funding, both here in the Granite State in New England and some of the innovations that other states are trying, given huge uncertainty about federal highway funds this year. 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Our guest for the hour is Tony Punton. He's executive director of the Boston Society of Civil Engineers section and an associate with the Beta Group engineering firm based in New Hampshire. Joining us now on the phone is State Representative Joe Petrie. He's a Republican representative from Farmington and a sponsor of an increased gas tax proposal that the full House is going to be voting on today. Representative Petrie, busy day. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, why did you decide to sponsor this gas tax increase? And can you tell us how much it might be? I keep hearing 7 to 8 cents.
Well, I signed on to 7 cents on the gas tax. I'm sick and tired of kicking this can down the road. We've sold bridges. We've raided a treasury fund that the DOT had. That's another thing. We're always in a situation where we're under the gun and we just don't have the funds to take care of the problem. We should take care of this problem once and for all, build our infrastructure.
So 7 cents a gallon, that's what you've signed on to.
Yes.
Republicans last year, in 2014, campaigned on a promise not to raise taxes. What are you going to say, Representative Petrie, to your constituents when they say, hey, you promised you wouldn't do this?
That is correct. I didn't know the gravity of the problem. It is, and I do realize that I didn't make that promise. But sometimes you have to look at the situation and go from there. This is early in the process. We have several other options in the mix. I consider myself an O'Brien Republican, and we do have some other options. Matter of fact, one is, I believe, taking $15 million out of safety and $20 million out of the university. But, that's just one. But there's others out there that we heard yesterday, and there's other funds that maybe we may be able to use another gimmick. But it's a way to, because we do need build our roads and bridges and make them safe for the public, especially coming, driving down the road. And just the other day, it was, you kind of pray for having those DOT trucks come in front of you and clearing the roads.
Well, yeah, with the winter we had, everybody's appreciating the plowing. The last time New Hampshire raised the gas tax, as you know, was last year, 4 cents, 4.2. It was specifically earmarked for road repair and a big chunk, about 40%, for the I-93 project. And that made some folks more comfortable voting for it because it was specifically targeted for roads and bridges and I-93. What about this increase that you're backing, Representative Petrie? Is that specifically targeted to roads and bridges, or is this for the transportation budget in general?
That is for roads and bridges. We, matter of fact, in the House and Division II House Finance Committee, we actually took some money back out of safety because and held it at 26%. In other words, the amount came out of the highway fund. So now that and that's not a set figure. It is a state law, but we can change that law in finance to, it could be 20%, it could be 15%. That's another alternative that we could do. And but you got to get the money from someplace. And as a previous speaker said on the phone here or on your show, is that the gas mileage has been increasing for these cars. And another avenue we may go is it won't get much money into the system, but electric cars, they don't really pay their fair share
because they're not using gas, so they're not paying gas taxes,
but they're using the roads. And that's of course they got a lighter footprint, but that's another alternative. That won't bring a lot of money, but it won't fix the problem. But
so just to be crystal clear, so this 7 cent increase that you and Representative Kirk and others say that they will support, that is just going to be for roads and bridges. It will not go to general department funding.
That's what I understand. Mm-hmm. And of course, in our government, they tend to sweep funds out of dedicated funds. Dedicated accounts, and that's troublesome to me. I see it happening, and as I said, it's troublesome. I mean, we need to make this a very business friendly state. Of course, you need good roads to do that. We have some of the highest business profits tax in the country. We need to get that down. I think I just read it this morning. It was 48th in the country. That's something that we're losing our young kids, the 20, 40 year olds. We found that out in the 2010 census. And, we got to keep those kids in here, and, we got to have them, provide them jobs, the opportunity for jobs, because they're leaving the state. And I just had a son of mine. He's already in Tennessee. He's quite a little bit out of that range, but he just got a new job in Tennessee as a production manager.
So he's one of those young brain drain, if we can call it that.
Absolutely. I mean, and actually he's still in college. So, you know, that's something that we can't afford to lose.
Well, Representative Petrie, how do you think this vote's going to go today? As you know, your caucus is divided over this.
Well, you're right. And, of course, people promise not to raise taxes, and that's a very sincere promise as far as I'm concerned. I'm probably one of the most conservative members in the House. But at times you see there's a real problem and you got to fix it. Now, I'm not so sure this is going to be the end, but it focuses attention. In other words, the $88 million that we cut is a message, all right, that we need to fix this problem. And I don't think any of us in Division II finance believe that this is going to really happen, because one of the things we don't have the revenue estimates that have been predicted. We won't know the good numbers like the Senate will.
Yeah, the Senate has the advantage of getting those better budget numbers as the process goes along.
They'll have a better idea in May as to what. What those numbers are, and we may have enough, to not hurt Department of Transportation. It is very trying to see, this exercise and see our state workers go through this, because it's they do a great job. I know there's been a lot of angst sometimes about what they do, but I'll tell you what, my experience, and I've been in the House, this is my third term, and I see they do a great job. We have great support from legislative budget assistance, and I'm amazed at what they do. So,
well, Representative Petrie, we'll be looking forward to seeing what happens on the floor. I know you've got to head back in there and work this thing out. So I appreciate you taking time with us today.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's Representative Joe Petrie, Republican representative from Farmington, and as we heard, a sponsor of the proposal that's going to be voted on today to raise the gas tax by 7 cents. Again, our number here in the exchange for you to join us with your thoughts, questions, comments on this broader idea of how to raise money for infrastructure is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Our guest for the hour is Tony Punton, Executive Director of the Boston Society of Civil Engineers. He's in D.C. right now at the Society of Civil Engineers annual meeting, hunting down lawmakers, asking them about the federal highway bill. Very quickly, Tony Punton, what did you think about what we heard from Representative Petrie there?
I had to hold myself back. I was going to say, amen, brother. Thank you. I mean, you know what? And I wish I could vote in Farmington, but I live in Concord. And I give the representative credit for having, the political fortitude, if you will, to say, I said this, I learned the real numbers and the real situation, and I'm sorry, but this is what I believe. And that's what I got from him. And it is great. And one of the things that, and I'll speak from the engineering side, is that we get frustrated as engineers because we work with numbers, we work with design, and when we say that there are hundreds of structurally deficient bridges and the DOT inspects them based upon federal highway requirements and they said that these are structurally deficient, we're not making it up so we can get more work. We're letting the public know, and because our first order of business is the health, safety, and welfare of the public. That's what engineers take care of. And when the DOT says, there's so many bad roads, miles, there's so many structurally deficient bridges, it's not because they want to keep themselves busy, and it's not because they want to keep the engineering and construction industry busy. It's because there are bad roads and bridges. So the kicking the can down the road quote that the representative have is something that we've said a lot down here in D.C. and within the engineering circles, because that's what they're doing in the federal government, 6 months at a time, a year at a time, And, these projects that the DOT and all infrastructure projects that are large take, years of planning, years of design, and years of construction. And if you only know 6 months at a time what your funding is, how can you properly plan and maintain it? And the more you draw out a project, of course, the more expensive it is.
Well, and later on in the hour, we will talk to someone who does not think that raising the gas tax is a good idea, including the idea that people in New Hampshire shouldn't have to put more out of pocket, that the department itself could be more efficient. So we'll definitely get that argument on the air as well. The number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Joining us now from Texas is David Ellis. He's a research scientist with the Texas A&M Transportation Institute. And David Ellis, thank you very much for taking time out for us. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks so much. Happy to be here.
Well, we've been talking about the Federal Highway Fund and all the uncertainty around that, and some states trying to raise their gas taxes. But beyond gas taxes, beyond waiting for the feds to get their act together on federal highway funding, how do you, David, see states innovating when it comes to infrastructure funding?
Well, you know, the situation that you've been discussing is not unique to that part of the country. It is a nationwide problem that is felt at the state level in virtually every state. I know we're dealing with the issue here in Texas. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, I was testifying before the House Long-Range Infrastructure Funding Subcommittee and talking about this very issue. I think that what states are looking to do now, states recognize the importance of their transportation systems. They are critically important to their economies, to jobs, for a number of reasons, but they are critical to a state's economic success, and they recognize this, and so they're struggling for solutions. One of the things that they're doing out of for lack of a better word, desperation, if you will, is looking at the inaction on the federal level and then the need to get something done, and states are trying to step in and fill that void through increasing their state motor fuels tax, or looking at public-private partnerships, looking at more toll roads as a way to as a means of finance, if you will, to provide the infrastructure that used to be paid for through gasoline taxes and a few other fees, maybe vehicle registration fees, at the state level, and then the motor fuel tax at the federal level. And the feds have basically abdicated that responsibility, if you will, in many ways, and by attacking things on just kind of a six-month basis,
yeah.
And as folks were talking about, that is no way to run a railroad.
Well, it's tough because engineering firms, construction firms need reliability. They need to know that the money's going to be there before they jump into these big projects. You know, you mentioned public-private partnerships, and I am interested in that, David. A couple years ago, I took that private road from Chicago into Indiana, I think it was, the Skyway or something like that. It was a big deal. What's that model all about? How does that work? And what's the promise of that?
Well, there are a lot of different models, and in many, many ways, each one of those projects is almost a one-off. But generally speaking, it involves the private sector risking the capital. They generally work with the state with respect to the toll rates that are going to be charged, and there's typically some sort of cap on the rate at which they can raise those toll rates, and the private sector has to maintain it to a certain level. And pardon me. And if any of those things do not occur, then the state can basically take the road back.
It's kind of like a utility, then, right? It's
In many ways, that's the sort of model that it most replicates. And there are pros and cons to it. You have to. Does it cost more than had the state done it, for example? Maybe not all the time, but maybe, because you've got a rate of return that the private entity has to achieve in order for it to make their venture possible, and they've also got to factor in risk, et cetera. So you do have that factor. Is it cheaper than doing nothing at all? In almost all cases, the answer is yes. It is cheaper than doing nothing at all, because one of the things that we often don't talk about, we talk about the cost of taxes or the cost of building a road and that sort of thing. What we fail to discuss quite often, and almost intuitively assume, is that somehow the alternative, that there's no cost attached to it. The fact of the matter is there is significant economic cost associated with doing nothing.
Sure. We have a colleague who lost a hubcap the other day going over through
and
a pothole.
If it begins to affect our economy in meaningful ways, if you think about our nation and the way businesses compete and the way we've historically competed in this country, it is not necessarily on the basis of cost. You know, we don't want to work for wages that people are paid in a lot of other countries. And so we have to compete in terms of innovation, in terms of efficiency. And part of that efficiency is our logistics and supply chain. And if we can't compete that way, we're going to continue to lose ground internationally in terms of investment in business and the profitability of business. I mean, this is a broad issue that touches just about every element of our way of life, if you will.
Well, I want to share an email with you and see what you think, David, and maybe get Tony's thoughts too. Here's an email from Robert who says, perhaps charging tax on a per mile basis, fraction of a cent, based on model year of vehicle. Robert says that makes it fair for everyone, regardless of transportation mode. This is, David Ellis, this vehicle miles traveled idea that Oregon is experimenting with. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. And I think I think we ultimately, as a nation, will move in that direction. And I think we will have to. We'll find some measure like that. And if you stop and think about it, it is the closest thing to a true user fee, if you will, in the sense that you are being charged for how much you use this particular type of infrastructure. That's what the motor fuels tax used to be back when it was first passed. All the vehicles got essentially pretty much the same kind of gas mileage and used the same fuel, and so it became a surrogate for for measuring how much you use the system, and that's the way we taxed a user fee, if you will. We taxed it through the fuel, and it's easy to collect, and so on and so forth. Well, that's become less and less of an accurate measure for how much an individual uses the system. And you've discussed this in terms of fuel efficiency,
sure,
type
electric
of fuels
cars
and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Sure. So, and it's going to become increasingly of less value as an accurate measure. So what we ultimately go to, I think, is some sort of a VM fee, a vehicle mile fee, that gets back to the notion of, you know, taxing people based upon how much they consume this particular piece of infrastructure.
Well, David Ellis, thank you very much for being with us. Real interesting stuff. We appreciate it.
Quite welcome. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. David Ellis, a researcher at Texas A&M Transportation Institute. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Knoy. Today in The Exchange, ways to fund infrastructure projects and maintenance. We've been checking in on the gas tax debate in the New Hampshire House today, but also looking broadly at how other states are innovating around transportation and infrastructure funding. Give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. What ideas do you have for more transportation, more infrastructure funding? Or maybe you think we just need to do less infrastructure spending. 1-800-892-6477. Again, email is exchange@nhpr.org. Joining us for the hour is Tony Punton, again, Executive Director of the Boston Society of Civil Engineers. He's also with the Beta Group engineering firm based in New Hampshire. And Tony, it was real interesting to hear David Ellis from the Texas A&M Transportation Institute talk about vehicle miles traveled, VMT. I'd love your thoughts on that. He talked about pros and cons. I wonder what you think.
In general, he hit everything spot on. I personally believe that if you could go back to the forefathers and when they were instituting the gasoline tax and they said there was that correlation, if you tell them, hey, one day we'll have the technology where we can calculate how many miles people went and where they went and tax them on that, would that be better? I think they would say yes. I just believe that they had no comprehension that could ever happen. You know, VMTs are a pilot program in Oregon. I've heard many other thoughts on how to do it. You know, you take your odometer every time you go to register your car and you pay a lump sum. You went from 10,000 miles to 15,000 miles. You pay a tax on 5,000, pay at the pump, having readers, if you will, within a pump and in your car what's your odometer reading now, what was it last time, and getting charged per mile. Also, by the weight of the vehicle. You know, a small Prius has a lot less damage than an F-350 on impact on a road because of weight. So there's many ways to do it. The big thing, of course, everybody thinks about is, you know, GPS being intrusive. But we're going to have to overcome that somehow, I believe, and I agree with him.
Well, there are privacy concerns that, you know, government is watching how much you drive, maybe where you drive. I also wonder if you did it on the odometer system that you describe. I don't know if some clever people could come up with a way to mess with their odometers, you know, and make it look like.
People are going to get, try and find a way to get out of paying taxes and whatever as much as they can, but you have to go with the majority. One thing I'd like to mention about the P3 projects, one of the things that you have to have in order to have a P3 project is a source
is
of revenue.
What is P3?
The public-private partnership.
Sure.
You had talked about them and the guests from the Texas Transportation Institute. There's a little bit of a nuance between funding and financing. For example, if you have an existing bridge that is a toll bridge that needs to be repaired, but the state does not have the upfront dollars to repair it, they can go to a P3 and they can get the money, and the concessionaire will collect the revenues, and that's how they will pay for them as a rate of return. That's financing. That's not adding any more money into the system. That's just getting somebody to pay the system up front. It's almost like bond. Now, funding is where you have an existing bridge. It's not tolled. You have to repair it, so you will repair it and toll it to collect. So some P3s don't add any more money into the system because you're already collecting a revenue source, whereas some will actually institute a new revenue source. So it's a little bit of a nuance, and some of the P3s that just refinance, it's just like floating a bond that you pay for over many years.
Well, and joining us now on the phone from the State House is State Representative Bill O'Brien. He's a Republican from Mount Vernon. And Representative O'Brien, good to have you. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Well, I know you're getting ready to go take a vote on this gas tax issue, so I won't take too much time with you. But before we talk about the gas tax, Representative O'Brien, I'm just curious, how would you describe the quality of New Hampshire's transportation system? What are you seeing out there?
Well, I think it has good quality. I go actually around the country in my employment, and I don't see in northern states that our roads are any bit significantly worse. I think in many cases they're better. I think we do have an expensive system. If you compare us to some other northern states, the per mileage repair and reconstruction cost is higher, in some cases such Maine significantly higher. But overall, I think we have a Department of Transportation that we can be fairly pleased with.
So I have heard that you are feeling quite strongly against this 7-cent increase in the gas tax. Tell us why, Representative O'Brien, please.
Well, you know, first of all, it's fairly clear it's not going to pass today. But putting that aside, it's the process that introduces this discussion that I think is wrong. You know, we've just had a gas tax increase. We've just put another $67 million into the system for bridge and road repair and reconstruction. For us to be asked to, you know, every penny that we raise is another $8 million. So 7 or 8 cents more, we're talking a lot more money coming in, $128 million over the biennium if the gas tax was passed. I think that's more than is needed. I think part of the problem we have here is that there's a diversion out of the Highway Trust Fund. I know as many of your listeners are aware that there's a constitutional provision that says money that's raised through vehicle registration and gas taxes are supposed to go to bridge and road repair and construction and supervision. And yet, tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions are diverted out of that to other, you know, questionable, perhaps indirect uses. If that stopped, we wouldn't have to be talking about a gas tax increase at all.
Yeah, I have heard that a concern that money is diverted, as you said, out of the DOT budget to the Department of Safety. And then the comeback to that, Representative O'Brien, is that I've heard is, yes, but it's mostly for state troopers who make the roads safer. So that's legit. I wonder what you think.
Unfortunately, I think people, when they look at where the money is being diverted, don't see quite the relationship between the activities of the Department of Safety and their use of highway trust fund money. And, you know, money goes to other uses that are fairly questionable, you know, for a while there. And I think it still might be the case, you know, the Capital Crimes Unit of the Attorney General's Office was receiving some funds. Trails in the past, park trails in the past have received some funds. So, you know, I think we've seen that the diversion is counterproductive, and it's being used to justify a gas tax increase that is not necessary. And the way it came up this session is particularly cynical. The budget is going up. You know, we're starting to hear some Washingtonian rhetoric here that if we're cutting the rate of increase, that's a true cut. You know, I think in Hampshire, we know that that's not the case. A true cut, it means the budget's less than it was last year. And so we're not talking cuts in the overall budget at all. But what has happened is that the increases that are taking place have been spread over a number of other departments in the Department of Transportation. And then the Department of Transportation, they're attempting to carve it out and say, because we are reducing its budget, it has a funding crisis, and use that a contrived situation in order to get a gas tax increase.
So you're saying this $88 million, Representative O'Brien, is not a cut from where the department sits today?
No. I'm saying the overall budget is increasing by hundreds of millions of dollars. What they've done, though, is spread that increase, which reflects greater amounts of revenue that are coming in from the existing tax base. They've spread that over other departments. And then they're proposing a substantial cut to the Department of Transportation and saying that even though we have enough money to increase spending in other areas, we're going to cut here, and therefore there's a funding crisis. So it's a contrived funding crisis.
I see.
I think it's unfortunate. I think it's one of the reasons that our understanding is that the bill that they're trying to use in today's session to bring forward that part of the budget, take it out of the overall budget, bring it forward. It's one of the reasons we hear that bill will likely be tabled.
And
we're not going to have this debate at all.
Your colleague, Neil Kirk, chair of the House Finance Committee, a well-known conservative number cruncher, said, considering the alternatives to not raising the gas tax, in my mind, he said, there's no choice for any reasonable legislator. How do you feel about that, Representative O'Brien?
Well, Neil Kirk is a good friend of mine, and I respect greatly the years of service he's given to New Hampshire. But those years of service included a prior stint as finance chair where his committee proposed a 12% increase in the budget. And then he went even outside his committee and proposed an alternate budget that would have been a 15% increase. You know, is unfortunately not as much of a fiscal conservative as I think the people of New Hampshire would expect in that position, and certainly as would reflect the consensus in the Republican caucus. So I don't think it's necessary to increase it. I think we can live within our means. The revenues are going up slightly because we're pulling out of the recession somewhat. We can take those additional revenues, spread them more evenly over the budget, including in the Department of Transportation. Certainly if we stop even some of the diversion of funds to the Department of Safety and other departments, we would not have a problem maintaining our roads and bridges at all over the next 2 years.
Well, Representative O'Brien, thank you again for taking time out. We appreciate it.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Bye-bye. That's Representative Bill O'Brien, Republican State Representative from Mount Vernon. And Tony Punton, just a few moments left with you to wrap up this broader conversation about infrastructure spending, what we're seeing in New Hampshire, New England, and around the country. Let's go to Ron in Franconia. Ron, you're on the air. Thanks for being with us.
Yes, good morning. 50 years ago, I was a highway engineer. At that time, the statistic was that trucks, not automobiles, trucks cause 90% of the damage to our roads. I wonder how this bill addresses that, or how taxation in general addresses that issue.
How
Thank
policy.
You.
Yeah, it's a good question. Thank you, Ron, very much. Tony, sounds like that's up your alley.
Well, I can tell you, Ron is correct. Still, trucks because of the weight do cause most of the damages. I'm not sure the exact differentiation. There is a different diesel tax than a gas tax that may account for it. That's why a newer system with a VMT or some other mechanism tied to a vehicle and the vehicle type, maybe. But of course you get quite a bit of pushback from the trucking industry, and if there is a cost increase to really account for their impacts, it will probably be passed down to the consumer via higher costs in goods and services. It's just a reality. One quick thing, talking about numbers, I say engineers deal with numbers. If you drive 20,000 miles a year and you get 30 miles a gallon, a 7-cent gasoline increase will be less than $4 a month. Less than $4 a month, so it's a couple of Dunkin' Donuts or one nice Starbucks coffee per month that a 7-cent gas per gallon will increase. And I know the DOT has local bridges designed literally on the shelf, and this will allow them to be pulled off the shelf and actually be built.
Thank you for that call. Here's an email from Rick, who says, what is the engineering community doing to innovate and lower costs? New materials, construction methods? Rick, it's a good question. We've talked a lot about more funding, but what are you guys doing on your end to lower the cost of road and bridge repair?
One of the things that we're doing with the DOT or engineering organizations are doing with the DOT is that different delivery methods. You know, this public-private partnership. Engineers are playing a role in that in the design. Also, the design-build delivery method, which will allow a contractor and an engineer to work together on a project simultaneously rather than the standard, I design it, you bid on it, you build it. This design-build lets things get done quicker. The innovation is that we work directly with a contractor who knows construction methodology a lot better than us engineers, and we get the job done quicker. There's also, all the time, and I'm not specifically a bridge engineer, but the bridge engineers use all types of new materials that are coming about, whether it's the bearings or the expansion joints, and also accelerated bridge construction, building a bridge offsite, lifting it, putting it on like they did in Exit 14 over a weekend, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. Once again, getting things done quicker, more efficient, and the quicker you get it done, more efficient you get it done, the cheaper it is.
Well, Tony, I have a bunch of emails here, and I won't be able to get to all of them, but let me see if I can share a couple more with you. This is one from Martin in Sandwich. He says, an easy way to bring more dollars into New Hampshire is to put a few more tolls on our highways, but make sure the money goes also to our secondary roads instead of mostly going to 93 and 95. Martin says, my wife and I are conservative-minded, but like most people, do not object to paying for tolls. We don't have any sales tax, so tolls could be one way to charge out-of-staters for using our roads. Now, we talked about that a little bit earlier, but it's an idea that keeps coming up, Tony.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you talk about charging out-of-staters for rolls, I think that for tolls, I think the Turnpike will tell you that the Hampton Plazas, that 75% of the people that go through the Hampton Plaza are out-of-state, being mostly Maine or Massachusetts. So we do collect a lot of revenue from out-of-staters in that regard. Me personally, I believe that if you use a system, a product, whatever it is, you should pay for it. The unfortunate part is that, the offshoot of tolling all the roads will be the secondary impacts and I'm on a toll road, I want to get off and use a local road for free. I mean, it's amazing that what people will do to skirt 50 cents.
Here's another email. This is from Jordan in Boston. He says, well, I would normally say a gas tax makes the most sense. Because then whatever state you're pumping in would get the funds for infrastructure. If we environmentalists, Jordan says, have our way, we'll move toward electric cars that wouldn't pump gas anyway. So to make sure autoways, bridges, rail get funds on a fee based on mileage driven that year makes the most sense. That's the vehicle miles travel we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Jordan has a question, though. Let me just throw this at you, Tony. He says, here's my question. I could be registered in New Hampshire, but then have driven over half my miles that year in, say, Florida. Is it fair for New Hampshire to get the whole of that fee? It's a good question. Thanks, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that there's the nuances that you can work out. I mean, it happens now. You fill up over the border in New Hampshire. You drive all day in Massachusetts. You live in Nashua, and you hardly use any New Hampshire roads, but they get all of it. I'm sure it evens out. That's something that I have to look at down the way.
Yeah, well, and just to wrap up with you, Tony, and thanks again for your time. We start out by saying you're in D.C. at this big meeting. I think you called it the legislative fly-in where you all come in.
We all fly in, yes.
And you say, hey, what are you doing for the highway fund? What's the next step for you guys? I mean, are you just going to keep lobbying?
Keep pushing. That's all we can do. Keep pushing. Push through the frustration.
Are you hopeful that they will ultimately reauthorize this thing in a meaningful way, or will they just kick the can down the road, like you said earlier?
I don't know. I really don't. And like once again, it's the frustration. We're going to do our best to tell them about the importance of infrastructure and the need to fix the Highway Trust Fund.
All right. Tony, it's been great to talk to you. Thank you very much for giving us your time.
No problem, Laura. Thank you.
That's Tony Punton, Executive Director of the Boston Society of Civil Engineers and an associate with the Beta Group engineering firm based in New Hampshire. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. Our engineer is Dan Colgan. The senior producer is Ellen Grimm. Our producers are Faith Meixel and Jason Moon. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord, and I'm Laura Kanoy.